Please be seated. When we lived in Virginia while I was in seminary, my wife Ellen worked at a local Episcopal church. She did many things there, and one of them included a ministry much like our parents' day out with the little ones. She also worked with the youth group. So between the two, she came home with many of those kids say the darndest things type of stories. One such story involved a youth named James, who I guess they were discerning his future or something like this in confirmation class. And he declared, "When I grow up, I'm going to be an NBA star. And if not, if that doesn't work out, I'll be a priest." I suppose it's always nice to have a fallback plan. Did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up? How'd that work out for you? Are you doing or did you do what you did from the time, what you thought you would do from the time you were a child? I guess the only big plan I can remember from when I was a kid was growing up wanting to be a baseball player, professional baseball player, and now I'm a priest. So I guess James's plan wasn't so unlikely. This weekend in the life of the church, today in the life of the church, is Pentecost Day. Tradition understands this day as the birthday of the church. Gathered for the harvest festival called Pentecost or Weeks, those gathered on that first Pentecost would have been marking the 50th day after the Passover. In fact, they still do. I saw a picture in the Holy City just yesterday. We are here to mark the 50th day after Easter. They were without Jesus' physical presence, those gathered again, and there was nothing left to guide them, nothing to sustain them, nothing to carry them forward. I imagine they gathered that day with some sense of fear and some sense of loss, some sense of confusion. So as the story goes, they were given the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost day. The book of Acts has the story. A sound like the rush of wind filled the house in which the disciples were gathering. Tongues of fire rested on their head, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's quite the dramatic scene. Can you imagine it? Not only were there tremendously loud noises, but there was fire. And with all of that, the disciples began to speak in foreign languages, and they were understood. I guess so much so that some thought they had been drinking wine. Peter rebukes. Somehow, all of this came to be known as the birthday of the church. Over the last several weeks and months, we've heard the stories of Jesus' birth, the Epiphany. We've heard the stories of Lent and the time of temptation, his trial, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. These are the stories that those who followed him were convicted by so deeply. These were they who gathered together to worship, to pray, to break bread, and to share this faith. These disciples have gathered together, having experienced the brutal crucifixion of the one they gave their lives to follow. And they were the first ones to see Jesus was not dead, but alive and had been raised. Just 10 days ago in the church calendar was the day of ascension, in which Jesus goes into heaven once again, and I guess in some sense leaves the disciples waiting once again. They faced quite a bit, and yet they are together as one body to proclaim the transforming power of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are together when God sends the Holy Spirit to descend on them this day and to be with them forever. Indeed, to be with the church for the ages and ages to come. So having experienced all of that, and having had their lives transformed, they still desire to be together and to invite others to share with them in this transforming movement of God in their lives. This is the very beginning of the church, the body of Christ. So this week, as I sat down and considered this idea of the birthday of the church, I couldn't help but wonder if those first gathered faithful had an idea of what the church would grow up to be. Put it in a different way. How can the church and those who make it up, having received the Holy Spirit, grow more fully into its identity as the body of Christ in the world each day? Were they hopeful that the church would continue to be a place for all people from all places to worship their Savior? Were they worried that as the years went on, people might forget about them? What were their hopes and dreams? What were their ideas and plans for the church? Or were they even aware of what was happening on that day? I have to believe, I don't know about you, but I do, that at the very least, those people who experienced the movement of the Spirit so profoundly on that day must have had some sense of hope that would continue to have their lives transformed, that others would continue to have their lives transformed by the love of God and Jesus Christ, and to give up their lives to follow Him in a hopeful and loving and merciful way. So each year on the day of Pentecost, we are called to remember that message to the church then, which is a message to the church now, handed down through the generations. It's a message of who and whose we are, what we believe and proclaim, who is the source and Savior of everything. It is a message that says God made us in God's image, God loves us. God sent God's only Son to the world to die for us. And not just to die, but to give us life in His resurrection. Just as those first disciples continued to gather, having had their lives transformed by Jesus, so we gather today, having experienced the very same thing. And in their work to continue to share and build a community in God's image, we receive our call to do the same. On that Pentecost day so many years ago, the first disciples received the Holy Spirit to be with them, to guide them, to keep them connected with their God. The gospel reading from John for today tells of Jesus saying to His disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, He will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." The Holy Spirit was with those disciples then to guide them, but He's also with us as the very presence of Jesus. The gospel writer of John would have understood the Advocate to be the very presence of Christ. So as they face the call of being faithful without Him physically present with them for so long, even after He had been with them, from the very beginning, the receiving of the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, had to be some sense of relief. It's the same for us today, though we have never had that experience of following the physically present Jesus in our lives. Yet we still have seen Him with us. He has been with us from the very beginning, and we with Him. And we are still called to witness to this movement and transformation of our lives, just as those first disciples so long ago. You see, they were the first ones to experience life without Christ and to receive the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to be with them. But we know this feeling. And it is for us to open ourselves this day to receive the Holy Spirit into our lives once again. I think when we do, the question that begins to face us, the one that we are called to answer in our lives, is how might we describe the turn toward a new direction for gospel living now, the calling to discover what is deepest in the human soul in order to find God in the midst of life? How can we continue to share the hope and love that filled the first disciples in our world today? How can we be the church, the body of Christ, that those first disciples dreamed it would grow up to be? This is our call, this is our charge that we have once again received this Pentecost day. So what might the church grow up to be? Or how might the church continue to be formed into the faithful body of Christ that started so long ago? It's quite the tough task in answering that question. It requires ourselves, our whole selves, to do so. But we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, to comfort us, to sustain us, to strengthen us. And though we in our place and time have not witnessed Christ's physical presence on earth like those first disciples had, We are still called to witness to how God has moved in our lives by how we live our lives each day. In the book of Acts, just after this reading for today, the gospel writer of Luke, who wrote Acts, says that the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers, which you might recognize as one of the questions that we ask those who are about to be baptized. In this we find our sustenance, in this we find our strength for this journey of witnessing to God in our lives, in our learning, in our fellowship together, in our prayers, in our worship, in being fed by the Eucharist. We receive the strength, the nourishment to be witnesses to God's work in the world. Not only this, but as we have received the Holy Spirit once again this day, we can be reassured that we have the presence of God still among us to comfort us, to guide us, to sustain us on this journey. So may we all, guided by the Holy Spirit and strengthened by the prayers and worship, our fellowship and formation, witness each day to the transforming power of God in our lives, so that each person we meet, and indeed the whole world, might be a place abounding in love and hope. This world needs that so desperately. Every person in it does in different ways. So may we reveal God's invitation to experience God's love and mercy and hope by how we live each day.